The Jazz Spotlight, episode number 4. Hello everyone, Jan Ilunga here, and welcome to the 4th episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. I hope you're having a great day, because I'm sure having a great one. As you probably know, on the podcast I bring you special guests, sometimes artists, sometimes experts, who come on the show to share their stories and talk about what is happening in jazz today. They talk about themselves, about what they do, but they also share the resources and tools they are using to achieve success. Even though jazz is the common theme of the podcast, sometimes it can happen that some of the guests aren't straightly related to jazz, like the case of today. Today I welcome on the show Buddy Vogt, entrepreneur, founder of the label Heroic Recordings and author of the book SoundCloud Bible. As you probably remember, until a couple of years ago, MySpace was the online place for musicians, so it was the platform many, many musicians used to showcase their music. However, today, MySpace has lost ground to websites like YouTube and more recently, Spotify and SoundCloud. What is great about SoundCloud is that, first of all, it's a free service to use and it enables you to showcase your music to over 250 million users around the world. How about that? 250 million people are using SoundCloud today. Because I care about you and I want you to succeed, I reached out to Buddy, probably the major expert when it comes to SoundCloud. Buddy shares the do's and don'ts on SoundCloud. He gives out tips that will help you get started with SoundCloud, but he also shares advanced tips and even the biggest mistakes he sees artists making on SoundCloud every single day. As always, if you're listening to the podcast from iTunes or even SoundCloud or YouTube, you can find the show notes with all the links and articles and resources that we've mentioned on the show at thejazzspotlight.com/episode4. So here is Buddy Vogt with Mastering SoundCloud. Enjoy. Hey, what's up everyone? This is Jan Ilunga from thejazzspotlight.com. Really excited about today's guest. Today we're gonna talk about music distribution, really interesting topic. I'm very glad to welcome on the show Buddy Vogt. Hey, what's up, Buddy?
Hey, Yannick. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. It's an honor. Buddy has been on my radar for quite some time now. I've been following what he does. He's just inspiring. He's an artist manager and he's the founder of Heroic Recordings. Really interesting label. And he also writes about the music industry on his website and blogs, and he is the author of the SoundCloud Bible. So he's really, really busy, but he really loves what he does. So, Buddy, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How is your typical day?
Well, my typical day is evolving around music. And at the same time, I'm still a student at Erasmus University. I'm doing business administration. But my day-to-day comes down to finding good music, curating it, bringing it out to the world, talking with artists, and writing about it.
And how did you come up with Heroic Recordings? What pushed you to really get into business and start their label?
That's a good question. For me, it all started about 4 years ago when I had just started with my studies. And I was orienting on trying to start a business. And I figured if I want to do something for the future, you know, I want to be my own boss. So I started orienting on starting a business, following workshops and those kind of things. And at the same time, my best friends had downloaded Fruity Loops and started producing music, which they then put on SoundCloud, which at the time was a completely new platform. And without any followers, in 2 weeks' time, they gathered over 10,000 plays, which was amazing. And that kind of sparked an idea with me. So we came together and they started an act, like professionally, and I started managing them. And that just escalated. Like within a year, they got picked up by by one of the biggest Dutch DJs. They got played on national radio. We even did an international booking to Ireland. And at the time, I mean, we were all like 18 years old and I was completely clueless. So we were in deep, you know, kind of keeping up with what was happening. And because of that, I got in contact with the tour manager of Sander Kleinenberg, who turned out to be from the same area that we were.
Mm-hmm.
We then clicked totally. We founded an artist management agency called Heroes Management together. We then started signing more artists. So we had the initial act, Duct Tape, was electro. Then we found a dubstep act, another dubstep act, a guy who did the house, until we had a roster of about 5 artists for which we were doing management, bookings, publishing, everything. And that went on for about a year and a half, starting doing really regular shows. So we did about 2-3 gigs a week and got into publishing as well. So songwriting and doing major releases on bigger labels. And about a year ago, I decided to found the record label, Heroic Recordings, because we noticed that a lot of the artists that we were pushing were making such experimental music that a lot of the established labels were hesitant to take mm-hmm. leap of faith to push them. Not because their music wasn't good enough. Like, we actually had the contacts, but basically because they were saying, like, this is not mainstream enough, and because it is, it's not a secure investment for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we founded Heroic to use the power of new digital media, like SoundCloud and YouTube and other channels, to give these artists the exposure they deserve. So we're focusing a lot on blog networks. And we've done 14 releases now, collaborating with Red Bull and other big brands.
Mm.
And
nice.
That's how it all got started.
That's very inspiring. Really, really like what you do, and I hope your success continues. And you actually touched a really important point, that is exposure. Mm-hmm. Because I think that one of the issues today when it comes to musicians, but also music venues or festivals, is promoting oneself in the right way. So using all the tools out there, be it Twitter, YouTube, or SoundCloud, which
Definitely.
We're going to talk about it in a moment, in a smart way, if we can say so.
Mm-hmm.
So the first question for me to you would be, what do you like about SoundCloud?
Good question. Well, I think SoundCloud is one of the many tools that has come up in the more recent trends in the music industry, but I think in the total media landscape, and that is in the past 10 or 15 years, you've seen the role of making music accessible, and even other content like video too, making that accessible to a bigger audience is no longer up to a few tastemakers or gatekeepers, if you may, which in music would be the major record labels and distributors who back in the day put physical music in stores, in record stores, and got it out to the radio. Or for example, with video and film, you would only have the television companies, rental companies, and perhaps movie studios who were able to cater that to the crowd. And now we have YouTube making it also accessible. I think that is the primary thing what SoundCloud is doing right now. I love it so much because it gives people the opportunity to spread content without it being curated by anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the demand for content, music and video, has gone up tremendously, but also the supply, because the barrier to doing that is so low.
I like that. And my question to you before we get more into details about the platform itself, mm-hmm. so about SoundCloud, is how did you come up with the idea of actually writing a book about SoundCloud? Because many people might be passionate about a social media, a website, a tool, but from mm-hmm. there to write an actual book, a mm-hmm. guide...
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it deserves an honest answer. Well, first and foremost, I mean, SoundCloud has been really crucial to my journey in the music industry, simply because if my best friends hadn't put a track on SoundCloud and the track hadn't gone viral, none of this would have happened in the way that it has. So I owe a lot to the platform, if you may say so. And I have used it from the start over 4 years ago. So that makes me, I'm pretty convinced of saying that, I think I'm one of the few hundred individuals in the world who are as competent in using the platform and how to strategically use it as anyone in the world. And when I transitioned to starting the record label, I'm sure you've experienced as well that making music in the music and making money in the music industry is very difficult,
mm-hmm.
especially because there's so much competition. And I came up for the idea, like, hey, why isn't there something like an extensive guide on how to use SoundCloud, like with strategies and tips and functionality and that kind of stuff? And I started doing research, and turned out nobody had done so. And what I truly believe with the label and other stuff is that you need about 1,000 true fans to really start making a living from your art.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're striving towards. So until we reach that point, I was trying to create a way to monetize, to have the freedom to be able to do that, right? To pay the bills while still being able to push the music that we loved. And having the knowledge of SoundCloud that I had and having an affinity for writing, I decided to write a book. So I locked myself up in the library for a month, and voila.
You know, you make it sound so easy, but at the same time, I think it takes a lot of courage, to do the big step. And I'm actually happy you did it. I'm sure that thousands of people out there are happy that you did it, because the result, the SoundCloud bubble, is just a great, great tool that I'm sure it's going to be useful for a lot of musicians, festivals, music fans out there. So now let's...
I hope so.
Yeah. Let's get started now with my first question to you about SoundCloud.
Sure.
If you put yourself in a musician's shoes,
mm-hmm.
what is the first thing you would do to SoundCloud? So after you sign up for free, mm-hmm. what is the next step?
I think the first step would be to make sure that your foundation is correct. So that even supersedes SoundCloud. Like, make sure that your presentation is decent. So you have a nice logo, you have nice branding, so that you have a strong visual style. Then you got to make sure you have a domain, so something like yourartistname.com, and have an email address associated with
mm-hmm.
that. Then I think it's like a prerequisite right now to be, as an artist, to be on Twitter, to be on SoundCloud, on YouTube, on Facebook, and to make sure that all these platforms are branded in the same way, you know? So your Facebook page has the same visual style and logo as your SoundCloud page does. And make sure that all of these are linking to one another. So in SoundCloud, you want to make sure that you're linking to all your other social profiles and to your website. Then I think on all these platforms, including SoundCloud, you want to have a short biography on there and a contact email address, and place that contact email address like first thing visible, so that people immediately know, yo, I got to reach out here. So those are the first steps that I would take. I think as a SoundCloud user, then you need to create content. Like, I wouldn't start a profile with just a single track. I would give people at least a few tracks to listen to, or a set of an hour or an album or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that when people go to your profile, they're able to play one track, to leave the tab, to do something else. And then once the track's finished, it will skip to the next one, to the next one, to the next one.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And for those who are listening, you might remember from episode number 2, we had Bobby Osinski on the show, and we actually talked about online promotion on websites, or the importance of having a website, what to have on a website, and also how to use Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, and all the other tools out there. So how Budi said, the first thing, make sure that you have the foundations right, to have a domain name,
mm-hmm,
a logo, and all the fundamentals that you will need over and over and over again. So I really like that. And I also like that you emphasized about the importance of having music in terms of not just put one song to be like, yeah, I'm here on SoundCloud, but to have actual content that people can start to consume it, be it several songs or a live recording or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think is the biggest takeaway that I could give, like, if you've set up your social media, your websites and your SoundCloud profile, I mean, right now, you've got to be aware that the supply of music is just tremendous. Like, to name some figures, I read recently that in 2005, there were about 61,000 tracks in all genres of music which came out. Whereas in 2013, there were over 300,000 tracks that came out in a year, which were only electronic music. So that means the supply of music is huge. And as a result, it's super important that you keep releasing music consistently so that you kind of keep your head above water. So if you have your foundation set up and you have content that people could listen to, then I think one of the best ways to make sure you get noticed, particularly on SoundCloud, is to keep releasing music consistently and preferably like in a cadence. So one track every 2 weeks or one track every month, you know, so that there's a rhythm in there. So you get exponential growth.
So second tip, be consistent and try to publish or upload content consistently. But my question to you, Budi, now might be a bit tricky. How do you choose the right songs to upload on SoundCloud? How do you make sure to go for quality over quantity?
It depends. Like for a group of artists I work very closely with, the Duct Tape guys, like they are, all they do is they make music full time. So they make a lot of tracks, you know? And personally, I'm truly convinced that their music is top notch. Like every track, there's at least 100, 200 hours put in there, you know? Mm-hmm. And you could really hear that. A good benchmark, for example, would be is if you take someone who inspires you, a big band or an artist or a producer or a DJ, you know, and take one of their best tracks. For example, if your music is inspired by that, try and objectively judge it. Like, is it at that level? And once it is, I mean, then you should be ready to publicize it.
Wow, I like it. It was a tricky question, tough question, and it's maybe not that easy to answer, but I liked your answer. So to try to find someone that you like and try to put yourself in their shoes and put your music at their level and see if you're actually putting your best work out there or if you're just getting overexcited and putting the first audio file that you find.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's something I would add there. And that is, especially in the dance industry, it's often said that you're only as good as your last release. And if you think of it this way, right? Say you're a user and you just discovered a new SoundCloud account and you press play on the track that's at the top. If that single track is not convincingly good enough, then you're going to leave the profile and you're probably never going to go back there. Whereas if the first track is good and the second track is good, chances are you're going to want to come back there.
Yeah, totally true. And it's that applies to everything online today.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, you got to make sure that the first impression is right because especially on the internet, like people, their attention span is so slim that you need to captivate them right then or you lose them forever.
Yeah, definitely. My next point is we talk about uploading music, but there might be some people out there that they worry about copyright and these kind of things. What advice do you have for people who are skeptical about using services such as SoundCloud because they are afraid that, you know, their music would just get stolen?
Wow, that is a good question. Well, I think it kind of depends on your goals, right? I mean, if you want to get exposure and get out there and play shows and be famous or whatever, right? Then you got to be able to take the risk to show yourself to the world.
Yeah, definitely. I like it. And I also am convinced of the importance of thinking about SoundCloud, YouTube, and all the other tools in terms of exposure. So to think about them as tool to promote oneself. In some cases, even in the case of Spotify, for example, it's true that artists can monetize mm-hmm. through Spotify, but monetization shouldn't be the first goal of using Spotify. Exposure.
No, exactly. I mean, just talking about the Spotify case, right? Like, I heard recently that Spotify pays 70% of their revenues to pay out rights holders, so copyright holders, labels, artists, etc., and the company has never been profitable. So they have a business model where they're paying artists too little for their music, but at the same time, they're paying so much of their revenues out to paying artists mm-hmm. that they're not actually profitable. So it's not even Spotify who's to blame. It's just like the industry who's trying to find a business model that works. And in terms of being afraid of sharing your stuff, like, I always think of it this way, right? What's the use of a good pair of shoes if you're not going to wear them?
Like the metaphor.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and it is true. And we have, for those interested in learning more about sound, Spotify, we have an article. If you go to thejazzspotlight.com/Spotify, we have written a short guide about Spotify for musicians, and you will find also more information about their formula.
Oh, really?
So what Budi just mentioned, the 70% and 30% formula. You can find more information to thejazzspotlight.com/Spotify.
Cool. I wanna read that as well. You gotta send me a link.
Yes, definitely. And feel free to comment on that. Now, my next question to you, Budi, about tips. So about do's and don'ts. Let's go about the don'ts now. What are the biggest or the most common mistakes you see artists doing on SoundCloud?
Good question. I actually wrote an article about this, but I'm going to do it off the top of my head. I think the first thing, the biggest no-no, is to use the SoundCloud community to basically spam. Like, I think what SoundCloud allows you to do is to create genuine connections with people based upon music. And at the start of the platform, and even now still, you see a lot of people who are commenting on tracks like, hey, I like this drop, now check out my music. Or, this is a super good guitar piece, you should check out me, you know? Mm-hmm. I think there's no value there. You're never going to win fans by doing that. Whereas the commenting system is very good, so it's actually worthwhile to check out people who are making music that you'd like and who have fans who would probably like your music too, and then to actually give constructive advice. Say like, hey, I really like this build, but I think this is kind of off, perhaps change this or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That will show you actually care. Another mistake I see on SoundCloud is not naming tracks correctly. So for example, you should really streamline the way you present all your content. So it should be artist name, dash, track title, version, perhaps do brackets, free download or something. And then make sure that you present all of your music in that style. So it's very easy for people to see like, hey, this is a free download, this is a label release, this is a longer piece of music, this is an album, etc.
I like that. And I'm sure that probably many of the people who are listening to the podcast or now or in the future will be immediately log on to their SoundCloud accounts and make sure to change the way they title tracks. What is now, SoundCloud comes with a free version and with two premium versions. What would you recommend to someone who wants to give SoundCloud a try but is still not convinced because he thinks like, yeah, the free and the premium? What is your advice? Should people start with the free version and upgrade to the premium version, or they should just go straight to the premium version? What do you think, Budi?
That's a good question. But before, I'd like to add something still to what you were saying about biggest mistakes.
Sure.
I think another great thing people could do, which takes very little effort, is to put good keywords on the track.
Mm-hmm.
But then to specifically pay attention to the first keyword, because that's the keyword that displays on the track in your stream. And basically, SoundCloud has a system, like a discovery platform. So if you go to soundcloud.com, you could click on explore.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on all different genres like dance music, guitar music, jazz, ambient, it has an algorithm which figures out which the hottest tracks are at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the algorithm, of course, is trying to read music, but it's not really good at reading music. It's much better at reading keywords. So if you have a deep house track, then you want to make sure that the first keyword on the track is deep house, so that it shows up as deep house, so that once it gets a lot of plays, the system will ingest it and see, hey, this should be in this list.
I like it, especially because it sounds so easy to...
This is super easy.
But at the same time, it can have big results because just using the wrong keyword or forgetting even about the keywords can have a big impact between people exploring SoundCloud and finding your music and people just don't find you at all.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, we had this for a release we did about a month ago, a deep house release by this Belgian artist, and it got about 4,000 or 5,000 plays, but then it actually got indexed in the deep house lists by SoundCloud. And via the analytics, you could actually see just the traffic came streaming.
Do you have any other don'ts in terms of SoundCloud, something that you see really often?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is that they don't actually use their account. So, for example, you use YouTube on the daily, right? And if you're a fan of music, you probably use SoundCloud daily as well. So take the little effort to log into your account, to like the music that you actually like, to comment on the tracks that you like, to follow the people who are interesting, because then you will see engagement with your account. Whereas otherwise, you're counting on people to find your music and for it to spread itself, you know?
Yeah. Again, this is, you know what I like about you, Budi? That your contribution is so great. You make it sound so simple. This sounds like very little mistakes, but at the same time, they have huge consequences.
Yeah, I mean, these are like the basics, you know. I mean, it's not so difficult. You just got to pay attention to the little things.
Definitely. And now my next question to you, unless you have another don't.
No. Yeah.
My next question to you would be, if, let's say, I'm a musician and I'm planning my weekly promotion strategy, how much should I dedicate to SoundCloud? I mean, you have mentioned earlier about the importance of keeping your profile fresh with new tracks every couple of weeks, at least once a month. What is the amount of time I should put in SoundCloud in a week? What do you think it's a good amount of time, and what I should do or musicians should do during that time?
That's a good question. I would not look at this from solely SoundCloud as a platform, though. I would look at it as a whole. So if you have your social media, you have a website, a Twitter, a Facebook, a SoundCloud, a YouTube account, and you have content, so you're making music, you're making videos, then I would look at it like from a larger perspective. Like, the momentum thing is key, so you have to be releasing music consistently. So once a month, twice a month. And what I would then recommend you do is that every time you release a track, even if you give it away for free or it's not coming out on a label, but you're just giving it out to the world, you know, for the world to listen to, I would make sure that you then put your music on both YouTube and SoundCloud. Like, even if you're just giving away a track, just render a video with just a track and an image and put it on YouTube so that people could then find your stuff on YouTube. They could find the same stuff on SoundCloud. And I would make sure to upload it there and there, and at the same time start spreading it to your fans via Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. In terms of promotion, like, what I try to do with YouTube and SoundCloud and all the other channels is you gotta reward and interact people for when they're interacting with you. So if someone comments on your track, you respond. You know, even if it's like, I absolutely love this, you just say thanks, you know? And I'm a very big fan of blogs. So if there's one thing you could add to doing all that, like the YouTube, SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter thing, it would be building a list of tastemakers who are pushing the music that is in your genre. So if you're making jazz, then you find bloggers and YouTube channels who are pushing jazz music, you know? You start building an email list. You integrate the stuff into MailChimp or an email provider, and you send them the music to your you send them the music whenever you push it on YouTube and SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. And in that mail, you link through to YouTube and SoundCloud, and you also offer them to download the tracks privately. So, for example, a blogger could then pick up on your album so he could upload it or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That is how I would look at it from a bigger perspective.
Love it. Love it. And again, I think that in your comment, there was again the point why having a website is so important, because once you have a website, you can have an email, you can build an email list, and you can do all these kind of things that Budi said. So provide people with value, with fresh updates, new releases. All you can do this only with a website. So people out there who don't have a website yet, listen to Budi Vogt.
And you got to gather email addresses. Like, figure out a way to do that. So if you're giving away a track, make the track only downloadable if people give you an email address. So you could do that via your website. You could do that via Bandcamp, because that gives you a way to really interact with people on the most personal level, because everyone reads their email every day, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I totally agree, and I love that you mentioned it, because I was going to mention it myself, so I'm glad that you did. Now that we have talked about the don'ts and you told us what people should do on SoundCloud, I have a couple of questions about the book itself.
Yeah, sure.
So what can people expect from the SoundCloud Bible?
Well, I wrote the SoundCloud Bible so that it would be the most extensive work on SoundCloud out there. Like, I want people who've never used the platform to be able to pick up a copy, read it, and then have a good idea of how it works and to be able to outperform anyone who's on there within weeks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I also wrote it in a way so that someone who's an advanced user, say even a successful artist who really knows SoundCloud, would be able to pick up a few insider tricks, mm-hmm. but more importantly, so that he could read up on strategies, like stuff that I just explained you about, stuff that goes far beyond SoundCloud, mm-hmm. which looks at your marketing strategy and content strategy as a whole, to pick up on that, to really take things to the next level, including ways to get signed by a record label, how to get coverage by blogs, and more.
Okay, so SoundCloud Bible, it's for everyone. The newbie, the SoundCloud veteran, for everyone.
Yeah.
And what is the best way to find the book?
You can find the book by going either to soundcloudbible.com or going to my website, which is budivoch.com, and you'll see it right there. And if you're on my website, there's a lot of articles there about the music industry and music marketing. So from music copyright to publishing to getting signed to whatever.
Okay, we will feature the links in the show notes, so people, you don't have to take note. My last question to you, Budi, would be, if you were to give an advice to musicians who are just starting out, but also to established musicians, mm-hmm. in terms of online promotion, what would you tell them from your experience as artist, manager, and founder of a label?
That is a very good question. I would tell them this. I think right now that we're at a time that if you have good enough music and you're persistent and determined enough, that you're able to reach a lot of people with very little means. Like, you don't really need a lot of money or big distribution to do it. You can do it via the internet and social media and that kind of stuff. I think it's very important that you get a clear message of who you are and what you're trying to push, so both visually and in music and etc., that you're very dedicated in making music, so you get a lot of content,
mm-hmm.
and that you figure out a plan, like, okay, so I'm going to start releasing a track every 2 weeks for the coming 6 months at least. And you start building up all these this music so that you have content for months ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you make sure it's out on all these social platforms. But more importantly, you got to make sure it gets in the hands of the tastemakers, like the people who have a big audience themselves. So that's blogs, YouTube blogs, magazines, press people. And once you have that going, you got that momentum, you start pushing it out to all these people on every release. And the key to getting their support is by fostering personal relationships with them. So I would invest heavily in figuring out who the people are behind the blogs, behind behind the newspapers and etc. and just become their friends, you know, talk about shared hobbies, music. And then once you send them an email with your new album, they're going to see, hey, it's Yannick. Oh, hey, this album is awesome, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
That would be my biggest takeaway. And I think once you kind of get that momentum going, then you got to find a way to place this locally. So find a club where you could play for free, do whatever, invite your friends so that it becomes really tangible too.
I love it. And I think it's something so important to think about gatekeepers, stakeholders and fans as people first. So if you want to get press coverage, you're not going to get it by spamming over and over and over again. But it's like Pudi said, by trying to build relationships, foster relationships, that you will get great results.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think a great thing to realize would be, like, it all comes down to goodwill. So let's say we're talking to a journalist at a newspaper who's doing the music section, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say there's a guy who's talked to the guy in regular, and he drank a beer with him when he met him at the club this one time, and his music is all right, right? Or there's this other guy who has amazing music, but he only sends the guy a cold email. You know, there's a much bigger chance that the guy with the crappier song is still going to get the feature simply because they're on a, hey, yo, dude, what's up, basis.
Mm-hmm. That's totally true. And my last question for you, Budi, to wrap up this episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast would be, if you were to give just one last tip to everyone, from musician to club owners to festival directors, what would be your advice? Always in terms of promotion.
Wow, do you even mean this on an entrepreneurial level?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
I would say try and figure out what you love doing the most, and then try and figure out how you would do that, and then have the balls to just do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Screw the security and the safety of a job, or knowing this is not going to go well, or perhaps people are going to hate your music or hate your book, or you might not be able to make rent or whatever, but take the risk, because otherwise you're never going to find out. And that separates a lot of people from the rest of us, because, I mean, most of the genius people who make great music and got famous for it was because they took the chance to get it out to the world.
Again, Budi, a great tip. Sounds easy, but again, just a great, great, great tip. Budi, I would like to thank you so much for being on the show. Thanks for giving us an overview, a dive into SoundCloud. Tell us about the do's and don'ts and the mistakes that you see musicians do on SoundCloud. And thanks for sharing your story, your success stories. And I wish you all the best for Heroic Recordings, for your passion for the music industry, and all the best, really, Budi. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Yannick. Thank you for having me, and I hope to talk to you soon, man.
Okay, this was Budi Vogt with Mastering SoundCloud. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I hope that Budi and I kind of convinced you to sign up to SoundCloud if you aren't using it already. And if you do, I hope that the tips that Budi shared are going to be useful to you. Like usual, you can find the show notes and all the links to the resources and articles we mentioned on the show if you go at thejazzspotlight.com/episode4. I would like to also to share the link to the podcast with you. In case you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can go to thejazzspotlight.com/show and you will be redirected to the iTunes page. If you're looking for all the episodes of the podcast on the website, you can just go to thejazzspotlight.com/podcast, where you will find all the episodes of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. I also would like to quickly share the tool I use for my newsletter, because Budi talked about the importance of collecting email addresses and building an email list, so a newsletter. The service I'm using is called Aweber, And it has a sign-up starting price of just $1. If you want to try AWeber, you can head over to thejazzspotlight.com/getAWeber. And AWeber is spelled AWEBER. Again, thejazzspotlight.com/getAWeber, so that you can try AWeber out, start collecting emails of your friends and followers, and build your newsletter. Okay, so I hope this episode was useful for you. I hope it can help you bring your music online, showcase your talent to the millions of people who are using SoundCloud today, and I wish you a great day. I'm Yanni Lunga from thejazzspotlight.com. Thank you for listening.